Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
We will begin our service today with the hymn, In the Very Midst of Life.
In the very midst of life's chairs of death surround us, who shall help us in the strife, lest the foe confound us? Thou only, Lord, Thou only, we mourn that we have greatly erred, that our sins Thy wrath have stirred. Holy and righteous God, holy and mighty God, holy and all-merciful Savior, eternal Lord God, save us lest we perish in the bitter pangs of death. Have mercy, O Lord. In the midst of death's dark veil, powers of hell o'ertake us. Who will help when there's no sail? Who secure will make us? Thou only, Lord, Thou only. Thy heart is moved with tenderness, pities us in our distress. Holy and righteous God, holy and mighty God, holy and all-merciful Savior, eternal Lord God. Save us from the terror of the fiery pit of hell. Have mercy, O Lord. In the midst of utter woe, when our sins oppress us, where shall we for refuge go? Where for grace to bless us? To Thee, Lord Jesus, only Thy precious blood was shed to win full atonement for our sin. Holy and righteous God, holy and mighty God, holy and all-merciful Savior, eternal Lord God. Lord, preserve and keep us in the peace that faith can give. Have mercy, O Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Continue with the introit. Sing to the Lord a new song, Alleluia, for he has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations, Alleluia.
His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him.
He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Sing to the Lord a new song, Alleluia, for he has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations, Alleluia. In peace let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. This is a feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Worthy is Christ the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. This is a feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Our riches, wisdom, and strength, and honor, blessed and glory are his. This is a feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Sing with all the people of God and join in the hymn of all creation. Blessing, honor, glory, and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen. This is a feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lamb who was slain has begun his reign. Alleluia. This is a feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter is from Isaiah chapter 12. In that day you will say, I will give thanks to you, Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you comfort me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord Yahweh is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, proclaim his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted, sing to the Lord, for he has done amazing things. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, daughter of Zion, for the Holy One of Israel is great among you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from James chapter 1. Do not be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good act of giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the lights, who does not change or shift like a shadow. Just as he planned, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creations. Remember this, my dear brothers, let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Certainly a man's anger does not bring about what is right before God. So after getting rid of all moral filthiness and overflowing wickedness, receive with humility the word planted in you. It is able to save your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, oh, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, but now I am going away to him who sent me, and not one of you asks me, where are you going? Yet because I have told you these things, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is good for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will no longer see me. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Our chief hymn, Dear Christians, One and All, Rejoice.
Dear Christians, one and all, rejoice with exultations ringing, and with united heart and voice and holy rapture singing, proclaim the wonders God has done, how his right arm the victory won, what price our ransom cost him. Fast bound in Satan's chains I lay, death brooded darkly o'er me. Sin was my torment night and day, in sin my mother o'er me. But daily deeper still I fell, my life became a living hell, so firmly sin possessed me.
My own good works all came to naught, no grace or merit gaining. Free will against God's judgment fought, dead to all good remaining. My fears increased till sheer despair left only death to be my share. The pangs of hell I suffered. But God has seen my wretched state before the world's foundation, and mindful of his mercies great, he planned for my salvation. He turned to me a father's heart. He did not choose the easy part, but gave his dearest treasure. God said to his beloved son, it's time to have compassion. Then go, bright jewel of my crown, and bring to all salvation. From sin and sorrow set them free, slay bitter death for them that they may live with you forever. The Son obeyed his Father's will, was born of Virgin Mother, and God's good pleasure to fulfill, he came to be my brother. His royal power disguised he bore, a servant's form like mine he wore, to lead the devil captive. To me he said, stay close to me, I am your rock and castle. Your ransom I myself will be, for you I strive and wrestle. For I am yours and you are mine, and where I am you may remain. The foe shall not divide us. Though he will shed my precious blood, me of my life bereaving, all this I suffer for your good, be steadfast and believing. Life will from death the victory win, my innocence shall bear your sin, and you are blessed forever. Now to my Father I depart, from heaven to heaven's ascending, and heavenly wisdom to impart, the Holy Spirit sending. In trouble he will comfort you, and teach you always to be true, and into truth shall guide you. What I on earth have done and taught, guide all your life and teaching. So shall the kingdom's work be brought, and honored in your preaching. But watch lest foes with base alloy, the heavenly treasure should destroy. This final word I leave.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning is one of the most important and most relevant portions of Scripture for us Christians. It speaks to what we as Christians are about and what we do. This is always a very important thing for anybody to understand. A farmer, for example, needs to know what he's about and what he's supposed to do. If he didn't know what to do, how could the crops get planted and tended and harvested? Or what if he planted his seed 6 feet deep? Or planted it in the fall? Or planted it in a lake? Such a farmer, who does not know what he's about or what he's supposed to do, would be a very poor farmer indeed. Likewise, it is important for us to know what it is to be a Christian and what the Christian church is to be about. Our gospel reading answers that very clearly for this morning, for it speaks about the work of the Holy Spirit. We don't speak as much about the Holy Spirit as we do about the other two persons of our triune God, the Father and the Son, but that does not mean that the Holy Spirit is unimportant. In fact, the Holy Spirit is vital for us during this time. When Christ ascended, 10 days later, the Holy Spirit descended on Pentecost. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter preached on Pentecost to the wicked men who had conspired to crucify Jesus. He did this in spite of much danger to himself, and he spoke surprisingly gracious words to them. He told them that although they had despised and hated Jesus, Jesus had loved them. By his death and resurrection, he had worked forgiveness of all their sins. Therefore, even though they had killed Jesus, salvation was theirs in Jesus' name. Many, by the power of the Holy Spirit, believed and were baptized, but there were also some who, by the power of their sinful flesh and the devil, maintained that the apostles were fools or quite possibly drunk. Regardless, the apostles continued to preach that Jesus Christ is the only saving hope of all people. Apart from him, there is no forgiveness. Apart from faith in him, people will get what they deserve for the sinful life they have led, namely death and eternal punishment in hell. But through faith in Christ, people are received as children of God, holy and blameless, because of the powerful blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all our sins. The apostles continued to preach this Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is always in this proclamation of Jesus Christ. When and where it pleases the Holy Spirit, he creates faith in those who hear this message, just as it happened at Pentecost. And so it is to this very day and this very hour. The Holy Christian Church, made up of all believers in Christ, is a creation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in and with the word of the gospel that is preached. He is in and with the sacraments of holy baptism and holy communion. He is the counselor who will teach and preach and bring about saving faith until he has converted the very last person whom God has chosen for salvation. Then the end will come. Jesus will return on the clouds with power and great glory. The dead will be raised. All people will be judged. And the Holy Spirit will give eternal life to you and to all believers in Christ. Then you will live under Christ in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. And so we as Christians are all about the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit does not do his gracious work among us, then nothing truly good can happen. It is also very important and beneficial to know what the work of the Holy Spirit is, as Jesus teaches us that in our gospel reading today. It's important to know what the work of the Holy Spirit is because there are many false teachers who would like you to believe all kinds of things about the Holy Spirit. There are misguided Christians who crave spectacles and unusual signs, and they want the Holy Spirit to perform these for them. To be sure, the Holy Spirit could perform these signs if he wanted to, but you do not hear of these things from Jesus' words today. Spectacles, being slain in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, performing miracles, these things do not save. These things did not even save at the time of the apostles Only faith in Christ saves the sinner from the punishment that he or she deserves. This is precisely the thing that Jesus does talk about as the Holy Spirit's work in our reading today. Those who pay no mind to the forgiveness of sins that comes through faith in Christ, or who take this for granted, don't know what it means to be a Christian or what they are to be about. They're like a farmer who plants his corn 6 feet deep or plows a snowbank or harvests in the spring instead of the fall. All their labor is for nothing. So let's learn what the Christian church is all about from our gospel reading today, for Jesus teaches us what the work of the Holy Spirit is. There are three things that Jesus says the Holy Spirit will do. He says that he will convict the world concerning sin, concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment. Now, Jesus speaks here in a way that sounds a little strange to our ears. It would sound a lot better to our ears if Jesus would say that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of having sin, of lacking righteousness, and being under judgment. When we speak about sin, righteousness, and judgment, we speak of them very specifically, with pinpoint accuracy. When Jesus defines the Holy Spirit's work, he keeps things more broad. The Holy Spirit will convict the world about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. Why is that? By speaking this way, Jesus is saying that the world and our unbelieving flesh together with the world have a bigger problem than just this specific thing or that specific thing. Not only do we sin, but we don't even know what sin is. Not only do we lack righteousness, but we don't even know what righteousness is. Not only are we under judgment, but we don't even know what should be judged as good or bad, right or wrong. This is borne out by the explanation that Jesus gives for these three things that the Holy Spirit does. The world cannot make heads or tails of how Jesus explains these things, for the world has very different definitions for them. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will convict the world about sin because the world does not believe in him. The Holy Spirit will convict the world about righteousness because Jesus goes to the Father and you will see him no longer. He will convict the world about judgment because the ruler of this world, the devil, is condemned. Now, if you ask somebody what sin is, you would not get the answer that Jesus gives unless that person had been taught by the Holy Spirit. Instead, you would get answers like murdering, lying, adultery, stealing, and so on. If you ask somebody off the street whether it was a sin to not believe in Jesus, I'm not sure that they would say that it is. And even if it is a sin, to most people it's a pretty minor sin. It is certainly nothing compared to child abuse or some terrible crime like that. But the world doesn't know what it's talking about. Outside of Christ, all things are unclean, rebellious, selfish, and foul. The fall into sin has affected us so deeply that all that we are and do is tainted. It is only by being born again by the water and the Spirit that we can see the kingdom of God. It is only through faith in Christ that we can be anything other than sin. However, through faith in Christ, we are no longer sin. Jesus has atoned for our sins on the cross. The forgiveness of sins has been worked for the whole world, including murderers, liars, adulterers, thieves, and child abusers. That is to say, forgiveness of sins has been worked for you. Because Jesus was judged and punished in your place for your sins, God no longer judges you according to your thoughts, words, and deeds, but according to the righteousness of Jesus that is given to you through faith in him that is worked by the Holy Spirit. This brings us to the second thing that the Holy Spirit will do. He will convict the world about righteousness. If you ask somebody off the street what righteousness is, he would tell you pretty much the opposite of what he said about sin. Somebody who is righteous doesn't commit sin, plus they do good works. This is a definition of righteousness that works quite well for our earthly life, but it does not pass muster before God. Jesus says that righteousness is him going to the Father and you seeing him no longer. Now, what does Jesus mean by this? Well, why does Jesus go sit at the right hand of God the Father? Is it not because he has done all things and done all things well? Is it not because his work of redemption is complete? Indeed, that is why. And so when Jesus says that righteousness is because he goes to the Father, included in all of that is everything that Jesus has done for our salvation. Righteousness consists of what Jesus has done. So that means that righteousness is him being incarnate in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Righteousness is him being laid in a manger by his baptism, fasting, and temptation, by his agony and bloody sweat, by his cross and passion, by his precious death and burial, by his glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit. That is righteousness. And it's given to you. Jesus' righteousness is superabundant and wonderful and well-pleasing to the Father, and it's given to you through faith in Jesus. This is what Jesus is referring to when he says, because I'm going to the Father and you will see me no longer. We see Jesus no longer, but we believe in him. Through our faith in him, we are righteous, even though we otherwise would not be judged as righteous. Jesus said to Thomas, after he invited him to touch his hands and his feet and his side, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Therefore, righteousness is not how the world would define it, which is based on one's own work. Righteousness is all that Jesus is and does. And those who believe in him are righteous. Finally, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. The ruler, the prince of this world, is the devil. We gave ourselves to him by our fall into sin in the garden. He rules over all hearts and minds unless they be buried and die together with Christ in the waters of baptism and be born again. When Jesus says that the devil is judged, to be sure, he is saying that the lying, murdering, perverted devil is judged. The devil loves misery and putrid, rotting flesh, and all that is dark and evil. Even the guy off the street knows that it is good that such a wicked creature be condemned. But it is not just the devil that is black as coal that is judged and condemned. It is also the devil who dresses himself up as an angel of light. The devil is also behind all those high and mighty philosophies that say that what life is all about is making the world a better place, or building another Tower of Babel by our technology and advancements, or even just being the best person that you can be. These are noble sentiments. People would applaud you if you said them on television, but even if you applied your whole heart, soul, and mind to attaining these noble ideals, you would still eventually die, and your body would decompose. The good life is the one not where we are pursuing these noble ideals, but the one where we are reconciled to our Creator through the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What does it profit a man to be the noblest, most beautiful, most accomplished person on earth, but to have despised Jesus at the same time, the crown jewel, the best thing that has ever happened to this earth, and who gives eternal life? And so it is that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of having very poor judgment. They don't know what is good and what is bad. They don't know what promotes life and what destroys life. They're like that stupid farmer who doesn't know how to tend his field, All the running around and high speeches and great institutions are all for nothing in the end. The one who should like to have eternal life must eat Jesus' flesh and drink Jesus' blood, as Jesus says in John 6. That is, you must believe in him. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The one who listens to Jesus' words and thinks that Jesus has good judgment, that he knows what's what and how life is, that is someone who has been blessed by the work of the Holy Spirit. And so let us give thanks today. The Holy Spirit is still among us. He is teaching us. He forgives our sins and gives us Jesus' righteousness. He makes us wise unto salvation. The knowledge that you have heard from Jesus today is not a dime a dozen. You won't hear it very often, even from Christians, because it conflicts so severely with the wisdom of the world. But these words that Jesus speaks are true and reliable. Believe in Jesus, and you are removed from the devil's kingdom and will be blessed forever as a beloved child of God. The peace of God that transcends all understanding. Keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue by confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For all the baptized, that they would make a joyful noise to the Lord for the salvation they have in Jesus Christ, in whose righteousness they are clothed. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all pastors in Christ, that they would be diligent in their studies, faithful in their prayers, steadfast in their faith, and compassionate toward the children of God they serve. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our children and young people, that they would be brought up by faithful parents, receive a good education, and grow into fruitful maturity for service to home, church, and world. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the vocation of motherhood, that mothers would love and care for their children, and that children would cherish and honor their mothers. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all those who have been entrusted with earthly authority, that they would be given the wisdom to rule according to your will, to work for the well-being of the nation, especially during the present pandemic, and to enable justice and peace to flourish throughout the world. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who suffer in this veil of tears, and for all those who have requested our prayers, including Linda, Alex, and Kathy, that they would be comforted with the sure and certain hope of life eternal through Christ their Lord, knowing that a day is coming when no one will be able to take their joy from them. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who partake of the Holy Supper of Christ's body and blood this day, that they would receive the Blessed Sacrament in repentance and faith unto life everlasting. And for all who are unable to gather together due to the pandemic, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who have gone before us with the sign of faith and now rest in Jesus, let us give thanks to the Lord, that we would be enlivened by the gospel and sustained in the one true faith until our last hour comes. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Our closing hymn today is, O God, our help in ages past. Good morning to all of you, and thank you for coming today on this not-so-nice day. Certainly a change from weeks past. I thought I was getting a little soft from all these 70-degree days having to get my coat, but I sure am glad I did. happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. I hope you have a blessed day today and can connect with your loved ones. Virtually, if not in person. There's a few things that I'd like to talk about this morning. So Shirley Burko, member at Peace, died on Wednesday. And so I wanted to let you know about the arrangements for that. Visitation is going to be here this coming Friday from 12 to 7, as well as on Saturday from 10 to noon. Saturday morning from 10 to noon, and it's going to be a kind of drive-in visitation, so kind of a car at a time is going to be able to come and view the body and say hello, and that's how the visitation is going to take place. It's going to be here at church, not at the funeral home. Then at noon on Saturday, we're going to have a drive-in funeral service here. So it'll be like our Sunday services, except we'll be doing a funeral service instead. As far as plans for our services are concerned, next Sunday, May 17th, we'll continue to meet next Sunday, May 17th, for a drive-in service at 10 o'clock here. During this coming week, probably the leadership at both congregations are going to talk about what we might do going forward. I'll be sure to let you know about what it is that they decide. Ascension service, we will have a drive-in service for that. That's May 21st. So Thursday, May 21st, that service will be at 7 o'clock, and that also will be a drive-in service here at Peace. So you can put that on your calendars, not next Thursday, but the Thursday following. Okay, that looks like all that I had to talk about. Thank you for coming today, and God's richest blessings to all of you. Bye-bye.